Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour. On this Tuesday morning, we do appreciate you listening as always. Joining us now from the State House up in Montgomery, busy times, but we're always pleased to bring on this gentleman, finding time for this listening audience. And like I said, we're very appreciative of that. Is State Representative Steve McMillan of Foley joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, sir, and appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. As always, as I said, we do appreciate it. Busy times right now. Looks like there's, based on my social media, action on the gaming bill. What are you hearing? Do you think Thursday is realistic that you guys would get a vote on the House floor?
I think so. It's very conceivable that all three of the bills will be reported from committee by mid-afternoon today. We go in at 2, so the committees will have to meet and act prior to that. There's one going on right now. There's another one that starts, I think, at noon, and maybe another one starting about 1:30 or 2. And then the Rules Committee is going to meet at 1:30, and I'm anxious to see what that's going to be. That could be medical marijuana. It could be any number of things. We still got a plate full of issues to deal with.
I mean, this rush at the very end, I guess it was anticipated, dealing with, it takes a while for bills to get from the Senate to the House, but these are some big things. You go down medical marijuana, as you mentioned, gaming, also hearing some buzz about maybe prisons, but this is going to be a bumpy ride the next few days, it seems.
So some of the new guys are already finding out they got into the more than they anticipated. I had a couple of them tell me last week that this has really been a tough session. I said, guys, the session is not even started. And that's really almost the way I feel. We passed the Education Trust Fund budget, which is a constitutional obligation and requirement. And that went to the governor, approved by the House and the Senate without any real controversy. Didn't even have to have a conference committee, which is kind of unusual for one of the budgets. The general fund budget is in a conference committee, and I anticipate we'll see it probably this week. I don't think they'll wait until the final day on Monday.
Do you get the sense, though, this was a busy session? Bucall's last session last year, abbreviated, because of COVID-19, but are you seeing the fatigue? Are you seeing maybe a little bit of like, am I ready for this to sine die and then we can
a little of it. There's some that have been away from home a good bit in the last few months, and they're ready to call it quits and finish up. Some are still plowing away. We always have a few bills toward the end of the session that are important, not just to the sponsor, but to other people. And it's you have to keep pushing, even though it's getting close to the end. There were about 1,100 bills introduced so far, about probably 200, 250 or so have been passed.
Do you, what do you think the prospects on the gaming bill are? Have you had the opportunity to look through that? Because it varies from the Senate bill in a lot of different ways. I don't know really where you line up on it, but are you happy with the product the House seems to be putting
out? Yeah, let me explain that to the listeners and understand. These bills have been substituted several times, and every time we get a substitute, it has things in there that may be minor, but can be significant. I'll give you one example. Chief executive officer of the corporation that's created for the lottery has to be a resident of the state of Alabama the whole time he or she is in that position. So the little tweaks like that can make a difference to some people. I think that's good, actually, to have somebody lives in the state making the major decisions and recommendations to the corporation. And I somewhat jokingly told people when I came to Montgomery yesterday, I I felt one way about the whole situation. By the time I got here, I changed my mind. So I'm waiting to see the final product. But we're not taxing and we're not regulating. It's going on now. So
true. But I guess one of the big things that's really different from the two chambers is where the money goes. Do you like the idea of kind of where the House is headed with this? It looks like they take a little bit of the money away from the rural broadband, and they don't earmark it at a dollar amount. But then it looks like you increase the amount of healthcare spending, that becomes more of an emphasis. Well, why do you make of that? Do you think that's a good approach?
Yeah, I'm on the Ways and Means Committee, and our responsibility when we meet today will be to look at the final amendments that are being proposed to that bill. I don't think we'll see another substitute because we made some pretty substantive changes when it got into House. And there's been a lot going on as far as people working. I mean, we've had people working through the weekends, not just staff, but legislators. And there's been a lot going on and a lot of changes. Like I said, some are not real, real significant. I don't view them as significant, but they're important, I think, to have them in there. There's several things that are good about it. I think that it's a seven-member corporation, and they hire an executive director. But here's another little thing that would be, at least in my opinion, when they're doing the printing the lottery tickets, they cannot advertise alcohol or tobacco on those ads. They have to be members of the ethics. That's filed with the ethics law, the economic interest, same as the other elected officials do, even though these are appointees. The retailers can be personally liable at the locations where they sell the tickets if the tickets are not accounted for. So that's pretty significant stuff.
Well, what do you think, though? Another component to this, it's very intriguing to me, is the limits on political donations. That you have this, you run the risk of creating a situation like the AEA had with Paul Hubbard, where you have a one all powerful entity up in the balcony, you know, kind of dictating to members if they have enough money. And you would think gambling would have very deep pockets that they could play a political races if they saw fit, but you want to make sure that doesn't happen. And do you think the limitations on that do the trick?
Yeah, in looking at all three of them as the package, yes, I think that with being required to file the statement of economic interest with the Ethics Commission, a mandate that they have to comply with the existing ethics laws, just a few things like that like I said, I view them as very significant. And I think you're exactly right. The worst thing that could happen out of all of this is to wind up having one or more groups. And you could have the operators all get together and be a pretty powerful group.
Yeah, and overcoming that kind of power, well, I think it scares away, you know, what we had once called the big mules in this state, that they don't want to have to compete with that because that's what they had to deal with. The better part of the last century, I think. But that looks like it's in there. Another component I want to ask you about, you mentioned the corporation that would administer the lottery, and then you're going to have a gaming a committee, regulatory committee that handles all of that. It looks like to me, based on the House proposal, a lot of that is left up to the governor, and versus where the Senate proposal, it puts more of it on the legislature and other statewide offices, the attorney general, the treasurer, et cetera. Do you think that's where it should be? The governor ought to be kind of dictating the direction that goes in?
It depends on who the governor is, and one of the things that I feel more comfortable with is the fact that we do have a governor that's got an honest administration. If we're ever going to do it, this and take that into consideration, I think now is the time. I think the governor's had some input into this. I see her fingerprints in there with some of the things that are put in. For example, the creation of a security division that would mandate there is a mandate that they have to be schooled and taught how to investigate and what to look for other states and that sort of thing. So, as I said, I don't know how many total pages there are, probably over 100, I know, because there's 60 or so in the lottery bill. And we worked all afternoon yesterday and up into the evening last night on trying to come up with some scholarship opportunities. So, there's a lot going on.
That's another part of it. There's more money in the House bill for scholarships. They take up, I think in the Senate bill, it split it between scholarships and the ETF. In the House bill, the focus seems to be more on the scholarship component, at least with the gaming revenue. What do you make of that? Is that a better approach, you think?
Well, I think the thinking behind that is that for years and years and years we have heard about the Georgia lottery and scholarships, and nobody talks much about the problems and the issues that they've had. So what we've told the public, or telling the public, that we've told you all along, if we had a lottery, we'd have scholarships. So that's where we're headed, trying to fulfill a lot of energy went toward telling people that there would be scholarships provided.
Joined by State Representative Steve McMillan here on the program. Always very grateful for him to make time for us. Our representative, looking in your crystal ball, do you get the sense that there's at least enough support in your chamber to get this through? And then I guess after that, if it does, if you guys should pass it, it goes to conference committee, and then who knows what happens, right?
Yep, exactly. I'm sure that they've had a lot of communication with some of the key senators who have been supportive of this. And I think that once whatever we pass, they will accept. I don't see anything that should create any heartburn for the Senate at all.
And then I guess it goes to the ballot, and that's where the public gets to vote on it. But it really is, I guess, getting this far, we're further along in this than we've ever been, maybe with the exception of Siegelman and the lottery then, but this is casino gaming and everything. Are you surprised it either took this long, or that are you surprised that we have gotten to this point without something going wrong, as it always seems to happen?
I would say certainly that's a wise observation that you make, and like
I think we may have lost you there, Representative.
Early to mid 90s, I accidentally hit the mute button. I apologize.
That's no problem.
But you make a wise observation, and as one others have said, that it's interesting that it took so long to get anything on the ballot, much less something as widespread as this is. One of the things that the proponents have touted over and over is the fact that we're reducing the number of gambling facilities, and that is sort of an appealing thing, too.
Yeah, you're rolling back what is essentially, to me at least it seems, with Greene County, Macon County, it's and I guess Lowndes County, becomes sort of the Wild West, right, where you have this sort of patchwork system that's been made up as it goes along, but no one's really sure what's legit and what's not.
Yeah, and I often think of Milton McGregor, and what he would do if he was around these days. He'd find this hard to believe, in my opinion.
Yeah, because that's you're really going. I mean, this was his vision all along. It seemed becoming kind of a fully legitimate, not having to always look over your shoulder, you know, depending on who's governor or attorney general or whatever, and what might happen.
Yeah.
So it's certainly interesting times there for sure. But you think this gets through the House?
It's going to be close. I think it probably will, but it'll be close.
Is it the are you concerned about that constitutional amendment, 3/5? Does that seem where the problem might be, or maybe the enabling legislation?
Well, of course, we still have the budget isolation resolution and the BIR. If we've got the BIR, then we'll have the other constitutional amendment. But the constitutional amendment's a hurdle on close votes, very much a hurdle.
Well, we'll keep an eye out on it, but Representative, we're up against a break here. Thank you for making time. I know it's certainly busy there in Montgomery at the State House, but we do appreciate giving us an update there.
Thank you for helping us keep the public informed about what's going on.
Well, we'll do it again real soon. That was State Representative Steve McMillan. We got to get another break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Too much, baby.